All right, our shorter catechism question this week is, how doth Christ execute the office of a priest? The answer is, Christ executed the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. So it's important to note that the determination that Christ would be our priest comes from the decree of God, within the one mind and will of God that is shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that the intention for the Lamb to be slain goes back to eternity, and in the time at which man first sins, not only then is there already this plan for his atonement, but also there is immediately the promise, even before any curse is spoken to the woman or to the man, and the curse spoken to the serpent, there is the promise of the atonement that Christ will offer in the bruising of the, or crushing, bruising headwise, the serpent, at the cost of being bruised heel-wise by the serpent. And so there is this idea of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, so that Christ's priesthood, which is after the order of Melchizedek, which of course Hebrews, which talks a lot about Christ's priesthood, giving exposition of Psalm 110, is the great place to look at in the Bible to think about the priesthood of Jesus. And one of the main points that is made about it then is that it is without beginning and without end. That the reason that Melchizedek appears on the Bible scene without beginning and without end, without genealogy, is because he is the template for Christ's priesthood. And I think that Melchizedek is almost certainly a Christophany. The fact that he is referred to as a man is not an obstacle, for he appeared as a man, but so did also, for instance, appearance of God to Abram as three men who are variously described as men, and as angels, and as Yahweh. So Yahweh, in appearance, as three men, two of whom are sent as messengers, but then the two who are sent as messengers speak with one voice, talking about themselves as Yahweh, who are about to destroy Sodom when they arrive there. I believe Melchizedek is an actual Christophany, an appearance of Christ, who is King of Righteousness, as Melchizedek means, and who is described as the King of Peace, the King of Shalom, King of Salem, in the passage before, of course, there is even a Jerusalem, Jerusalem being a city of peace. At the time, it was a Jebusite hill. Anyway, so the great place in the Bible to look at, to think about, learn about Christ as priest is in the book of Hebrews, which points out that with respect to his incarnation and his actual entering into the office of priest, that this was something that he did not take to himself in his humanity, but he received from God. And as far as Jesus's human consciousness, we see that he tends to focus on his relationship with the Father whenever he is interacting as a man with God, even though he himself, of course, is also God. But then when he talks about the offering of his life up, he says in John 10 that no one takes his life from him. He has authority to lay it down. He has authority to take it up. And this authority that he has, this reality that he is God and man, is actually essential to his priesthood, so that when he lays down his life, It is not merely taken from him, but he offers himself up unto death, as Philippians 2 describes him doing, so that when he's offering himself up to the death that is on the cross, he is actually submitting himself, placing himself under the wrath of God. So yes, the wrath of God is poured out on him, who becomes identified with our sin. That's what he's doing, this reconciliation. One of the primary ideas behind the word reconciliation is the idea of exchange. And we hear that idea of exchange, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But God did this, not only the Father to the Son, but the Son to himself, offering himself in our place as our priest, to which he was called. We have his call recorded in the Bible, in which he is anointed, not so much by the baptism of John, although John pours water on Jesus at his baptism, but by the Spirit who descends upon Jesus from heaven, just as Jesus later, when he has bodily ascended to heaven, pours the Spirit out on us from heaven. This takes place at the age of 30, which was the proper age for entering in upon the full work of his priesthood. So Christ, as he identifies himself with us at his baptism, you remember that from Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus told John that it was necessary that he be baptized, or that John baptize him, because in that way they, that was plural, we, will fulfill all righteousness, that Jesus is identifying with his people in order to be their righteousness before God. And so there is this righteous offering of his obedience before God, but ultimately, not only is he being clean and being holy in our place, which was a great part of the priestly work, as we have seen in Leviticus and now on into Numbers, that the priests must be clean and holy in the place of the people as the ones whose ministry brings the people near to God, but especially then in the offering of himself once for all as a sacrifice. And this is something that Hebrews 7 especially highlights, when it reminds us that other priests were prevented from continuing in their ministry by death. But the Lord Jesus offered himself up once for all, and he rose again from the dead, and he will never die again. And therefore, not only has he reconciled us to God in this great exchange in which he atoned for our sin and became curse for us and endured the fullness of God's wrath, so that God's wrath is propitiated. There's none of it left. There's only the favor of God towards us. But he also always lives to make intercession for us by the power of his indestructible life. And so his ongoing priestly work is the reason that we know that he is able and does, Hebrews says there, save us to the uttermost. And so you have this conceived intention within the decree, within God, for him to be slain, the promise and the application of the benefits of his future atonement being applied right from the fall. In fact, Adam and the gospel named Eve already receiving benefits from the application of an atonement that would not come for another 4,000 years at that point. Therefore the application, even during the shadow period in which there was the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the sacrifices that looked forward in the tabernacle that was a copy, but it was always the efficacy of Christ's priesthood and the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice, the efficacy of Christ's reconciliation that was being applied by faith and the work of the Spirit until the time that Christ came. And now he pleads his own merits, the merits of his once-for-all sacrifice, for us, for which reason we need no other priest. He is our great high priest. And so how doth Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executed the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. And so we have been brought near to God in Jesus Christ. And you can hear, of course, now that you have been through Leviticus and heard over and over again that the word that most often, there are other words that that sometimes get translated offering in our English version in Leviticus, but the word that is most often behind the English word offering where you see it is the word for being brought near. And so in Ephesians 2, when it says those who were near and those who were far off were both reconciled to God and both brought near. It is talking not only of the once for all sacrifice, but Jesus is the one, our priest, who brings us near to God. And as Hebrews 10 says, all the way into the Holy of Holies through the new and living way that is his flesh, having our hearts sprinkled clean by his blood from an evil conscience, just as our bodies also were washed or sprinkled with pure water at the baptism. The purity has nothing to do with the substance of the water, but with the sacramental purpose that was assigned to the water by the institution of Christ. So the water is not holy except in its application, according to Christ's command. So finally, again, how doth Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executed the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us.